stand by. We are about to begin. Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, OmegaMon XE version 4.1, new features and migration considerations. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. The teleconference will give you an overview of version 4.1 of OmegaMon XE for ZOS, CICS, IMS, DB2, storage, and mainframe networks with powerful new performance and availability management capabilities and features. The speaker for today's teleconference is Ed Woods, Consulting IT Specialist. At this time, I'd like to hand it over to our speaker, Mr. Ed Woods. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Once again, my name is Ed Woods. I'm a Consulting IT Specialist with IBM Corporation. First of all, I want to take a second to thank everyone for taking the time today to attend this webcast. I trust you'll find this an informative and interesting presentation. I like doing this presentation because there's a lot of very interesting, exciting new information that's included in here. One of the nice things about working in the OmegaMon field is that IBM continues to invest in the technology, to leverage the technology, and to integrate the technology with other core Tivoli systems management, automation components, and things like that. And I'll talk quite a bit about what's happening with the OmegaMon, what's happened with the new version, the version 4.1s. I'll also mention a little bit about integration of the toolset with other core Tivoli monitoring and management components, and we'll spend some time as well discussing the migration considerations. I'll point you towards some relevant documentation and things so that you'll have what you need to know in order to be able to move forward to OmegaMon XE version 4.1. So going from our opening slide to the agenda, this kind of recaps what we're going to be talking about here today. So I'll mention what's been happening with the OmegaMon, what's coming with the new V4.1 releases, or I should say what has arrived for the most part. Look at example features of each of the various OmegaMon versions. We'll talk about what I call ITM6, IBM Tivoli Monitoring, ITM, what was available when ITM6 first came available, and now how the version 4.1 OmegaMons are leveraging those facilities. We'll look at some new OmegaMon offerings, specifically looking at the area of OmegaMon XE for Linux and ZVM. And then we'll spend some time talking about migration considerations, various migration strategies, things you should be aware of, sources of information, etc. So, going to the next slide that says OmegaMon 4.1, a new version of OmegaMon. So basically what we have now is a brand new set of OmegaMon monitors on ZOS. And so that includes things like OmegaMon XE for Kix, OmegaMon XE for DB2 PMPE. As I'll show on the next slide here, you see the timing. Everything is available or has been available GA since Q4 of 06, with one notable exception, OmegaMon XE for ZOS V4.1, OmegaMon XE for Kix on Z, IMS, the DB2 PE, the DB2 PM, network, storage. All of those now have version 4.1 relevant versions of the tool, as well as we now have a truly new combined Tivoli offering. That's OmegaMon XE for ZVM and Linux, version 4.1. This is a merger of what were in the past standalone versions of tools, and so now we have a truly integrated monitoring and management solution for Linux running on ZVM. There's also going to be an upgraded version of the OmegaMon XE ZOS management console. For those of you that are not aware of it, and if you're not licensed already for OmegaMon XE for ZOS, this is a free download wherein you can actually download key components, in essence, some key metric examples, if you will, of what OmegaMon XE for ZOS gives you and lets you work with the portal to get to understand the Tivoli Enterprise portal and see what some of its capabilities are. There's enhancements all across the board in the area of installation, customization, a lot of enhancements in the area of just integration, the ability to link and combine information in new ways. One of the nice things about this release is not only is it enhancements across the board in each of the key OmegaMon silos, plus it's also enhancements in the area of how these tools integrate and interrelate. And I think integration is oftentimes the key in terms of being able to take OmegaMon and leverage it and do more with it and make it a truly powerful performance and automation tool. So going to our next slide, which talks about our general roadmap. These are basically the general version 4.1 directions overall. What was the key design points? Well, first and foremost is, of course, customer satisfaction. Keeping in mind the perspective of enhancements, keeping in mind the perspective of things like globalization, broader support for more languages and things of that nature I'll talk about in a minute. Portfolio simplification, with the reduction of things such as Candle Management Workstation, which is basically now being phased out of the tool. continued movement towards the TEP, or what we call the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. That's the TEP. You'll see quite a few examples of TEP as we go through this presentation. Where it makes sense, also in terms of portfolio simplification, the merging of functionality. So what this means in our context today is going to be that instead of where in the past we had a standalone Omegamon monitoring solution for Unix system services, that functionality is now going to be integrated into Omegamon XE for ZOS. And so when you deploy that tool, you get that piece included in. Integration, which is something I mentioned as a key component before. Integration becomes much more dynamic in the sense that now we have a facility called Dynamic Workspace Linking, which takes the notion of being able to link various pieces of information in the various Tivoli portal displays and make those links much more intelligent in terms of how you can drill down from one screen to another. Launch and context capabilities, much more integration as well when we're talking about things like the Tivoli Data Warehouse, the ability to gather that information and then manage it on an ongoing basis. Serviceability is always a key consideration, and enhancements, of course, to things like the IBM Customization Assistance Tool, which is the key to being able to deploy the Omegamon XEZ monitoring suite, and then also agent versioning, which we'll talk about towards the end of this presentation. So these are just the general roadmap directives in terms of where we're going with the 4.1 release, or where we have gotten to, I should say, in most cases. Going to the next slide, in terms of just major new Omegamon capabilities, as I implied on the prior slide, support has been added for several Group 1 languages, French, German, Italian, etc. I mentioned the term dynamic workspace linking. This enhances the integration and interoperability of the tool in that it makes the linking mechanisms that have been included as part of Tivoli Enterprise Portal much more intelligent, much more flexible, and gives the ability to dynamically go from one workspace to another. The ability to be able to integrate network information with CICS or IMS transactional information, or to integrate database information more intelligently with, say, for example, I'm looking at a distributed thread in DB2 and I want to be able to see the ZOS workload manager service class information in detail, be able to tie this information together in a much more intelligent manner. One of the big areas of enhancement that we see in a couple places is enhanced support for things like the ZIP processors. So you see that support reflected in Omegamon XE for ZOS and Omegamon XE for DB2 PMPE. So you have detailed displays that look at ZIP address space breakouts, ZIP processor utilization, looking at things like on a thread-by-thread basis, the utilization of ZIP processors. And this is both in the portal but also available in the form of, in a lot of cases, classic commands and other things as well, historical reporting enhancements. A ZIP, I'm finding, is a very significant capability in many shops as a great way to be able to manage the cost of computing on the Z platform. So the ability to monitor and understand what is happening with those ZIP processors is key to that strategy. Enhancements specific to Tivoli Data Warehouse, support for pruning and summarization, I'll talk about that in a few slides. That's a very key thing that was not there on the ZOS Omegamon capabilities, it is there now. And support for multi-agent versioning. Basically what that means then is those customers that are migrating from a 3.1 environment to a 4.1 environment, that migration is going to be much more seamless and easy to perform. Going to the next slide, says Tivoli Enterprise Portal, the TEP, integration and ease of use via the link. The ability to link information from one workspace to another, to integrate and tie information together in multiple workspaces, is one of the key capabilities of the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. One of the true powers of the portal is that once the information is there being sent to that portal, you have the ability to combine it, craft it, tie it together in ways that makes that performance and availability management data much more powerful to look at and use. And so any enhancement to the linking mechanisms that make this up are very key. So in the example we're looking at on the slide here, you have your link wizard as before, and then you have links that can go either from tabular data that we see in the middle of the display, or you can link from icons as well. And so these links basically provide icons that you can click on to go from point A to point B in the tool, and there are links that are provided with each of the Omegamons out of the box, but you have as well the flexibility to add additional link mechanisms to this, and it becomes a very powerful portion of the tool. So the next slide just talks a little bit more about the notion of what we call dynamic workspace linking. What is the difference here? Basically, what we're talking about then is the ability of that link to function in a more intelligent fashion so that you can have it be more of a drill down in context type of a mechanism, if you will. Maintain the context if we're talking going from IMS to KIX or KIX to DB2 or DB2 to IMS or DB2 to ZOS or whatever. Each of the various Omegamons, as you see now, has these dynamic links integrated into the tool. And then, of course, you have the ability, as I alluded to before, to add additional links to the process. This ability to tie that information together, the integration, is so essential to really being able to leverage the Omegamon XE platform. Now, this then, in turn, takes us to something I want to spend a couple minutes on, which is ITM6. IBM Tivoli Monitoring Version 6. What are the capabilities? What is this about? What's the big deal, etc.? So going to the next slide, this just kind of gives an overview of ITM6, the story behind ITM6. And for those of you that may or may not recall, it was almost 3 years ago by now, IBM acquired Candle Corporation. IBM had its own set of Tivoli monitoring solutions. Candle had a set of Omegamon monitoring solutions. So the initial design point was to make sure that no customer was left behind. The premise was to have an integrated solution that was truly a way to tie together what you would call the legacy Candle environment and the legacy Tivoli environment and tie these together in a powerful new paradigm that gave you the capabilities you had before plus additional capabilities. And this integrated solution, this tying together of the Omegamon and of the Tivoli is the ITM6 version. So this was delivered, a year plus ago, and this truly was an integration of ITM5, ITM6, Omegamon, etc. And so as I highlight in this slide, integration, as always, is the key. The ability to pull together a variety of information. So what that meant then, from an infrastructure standpoint, was if you were running the Tivoli Enterprise Portal or the TEP, then you had an ITM6 level of a portal. You had an ITM6 level of the Tivoli management server, remotes as well as hubs, and you had ITM6 levels of agents that would connect up to it. So ITM6 was more than just the portal. It also referred to the infrastructure that tied these mechanisms together and made this integration possible. So moving to the next slide that says about ITM6. So as I said, ITM6 is truly an integration of Tivoli monitoring technologies. The essential design point was to make sure that no customer was left behind, that all this capability from an Omegamon or a Tivoli site could be tied together into one truly integrated solution. Now, from a Tivoli Enterprise Portal perspective, if you were, say, a legacy Candle user and you were running what was called at the time CandleNet Portal, and then you went to the Tivoli Portal and you were running the ITM6 version, you had additional history capabilities, enhancements through the policy mechanisms, a truly more fully integrated portal perspective. If you were looking at Omegamon XE from a ZOS perspective, you could deploy using this ITM6 level of the infrastructure, but there was additional work that had to be done in order to be able to fully integrate into that environment. So for those of you who are conversant with ZOS installations, there were additional ITM6-related FMIDs and things like that that you would have to pull into your SMPE environment to configure your management servers and things like that to be fully plug and playable in an ITM6 environment. Now, that being said, though, there were a few things that, on the ZOS perspective, the Omegamon XE version 3 ones were not exploiting that were sometimes quite important specific to the ITM6.1 capabilities. Now, with 4.1, that exploitation is there. The ability, then, to really not only just plug and play in the ITM6 environment, but also to actually exploit that capability. The other thing to be aware of is if we're talking Omegamon XE version 4.1, what that means is that you will get the ITM6 as part of the packaging. You won't have to pull in those additional FMIDs. That was only for the 3.1 users. So going to the next slide, here's an example of what I'm talking about. If you were running ITM6, say for monitoring Unix and Windows, in other words, just managing it from a distributed environment, you had the ability to set up the Tivoli data warehouse to gather snapshot history data, to run that history data to a data repository in the form of a database like DB2 or whatever. And then there were also components that would let you manage the summarization and the pruning of the data. So the idea then is you keep detail perhaps for a certain amount of time, and then after that time has elapsed, let the data warehouse summarize the data, and then ultimately at some point then get rid of older data. And this is just a mechanism that's included as part of the data warehouse infrastructure. So if you were a user from a distributed perspective, you've had this support for a while. Well, now with a Megamon XE ZOS 4.1, Megamon XE for DB2 PM, PE 4.1, etc., the ZOS level of the agents, you now have that support there as well, and that was missing in the past. Another example, as shown on the next slide, is there are policy enhancements that come along for the ride as part of the full-blown exploitation of ITM6. In this example, you have the ability then to, in addition to the what we're looking at in this example, we're saying to start this out, we're waiting until we see an event detected in NT, then a process, then we evaluate a situation for a missing process. There's actions that can work off of that. And then ultimately, you have the ability to add an icon that basically says, wait until something is false. So this basically provides another switcher control mechanism, some additional logic that you can add in the policies to provide you with some more power and flexibility. This is something that's been part of ITM6, but until the 4.1 releases from the ZOS perspective, the support or exploitation hasn't been there. You now have that capability. So Megamon XE 4.1 provides a much more robust exploitation of the ITM6 infrastructure, which I think is important if you're very interested in being able to have a truly integrated monitoring and management solution that pulls in not only just ZOS monitoring, but also pulls in middleware, Unix, Windows, distributed database, as well as ZOS-specific performance and availability data. Now, that's just some of the intro. Let's look at some of the details specific to what you get when you go to a Megamon version 4.1. So we have a slide that just says a Megamon V4.1 enhancements. Going on to the next slide, what we'll do now is we'll just step through a few examples of each of the various Megamons that's affected here, and I'll give you a couple of example slides. Now, owing to the time, we're not necessarily going to get into everything in a huge amount of detail, but I want to give you just an example of what some of the key enhancements are so you at least have an idea of what's coming and why. So going to the slide that says a Megamon XE on ZOS V4.1 highlights at a glance, one of the key items is zip processor usage and reporting. Now, this has actually been retrofitted back to V3.1, and so if you are a 3.1 user of a Megamon XE ZOS and you're at the appropriate maintenance level, etc., you will get zip processor support. Now, what this provides as well, then, is the ability to see zip processor utilization in a real-time format, the ability to do things like exploit Tivoli Data Warehouse to gather zip history data over time. There's also, in addition to the portal views, there's classic commands that I'll show you an example of in a little bit. And so there's quite a bit of zip information that's available in version 3.1, plus there's additional information that you will get in version 4.1.0 as well. There's integration with RMF. There's also integration in terms of this dynamic workspace linking concept that I mentioned before. The term is shortened here to DWL. DWL stands for dynamic workspace linking. Basically, what this refers to, in our example, could be integration where, and say, I'm looking at a thread in DB2 and I want to see more detail specific to the enclave detail of those distributed threads coming in from DB2 distributed. Dynamic workspace linking to various Megamon XEs. There's integration with NetView, the ZOS management console. There's integration across the board. Integration, as I said, is very much one of the key concepts. Other information, one of the key design points across the board with the Megamons is as much as possible is to move the appropriate information that we're seeing in things like CUI interface into the Tivoli Enterprise portal. That is the long-term direction in terms of a UI with the tool. So key items of information that have been added to appropriate portal displays in 4.1 is IO rate, storage information, etc. This is data that was available in CUI. Now you can see it in the Tivoli portal as well. The ability to create situation alerts for tape drive type alerts, etc. There's also support for things like coupling facility duplexing and plex-wide ZAP reporting support and analysis. We've had ZAP support for a while, but now we're basically taking this concept and enhancing its scope plex-wide. a key bullet point at the bottom of this slide, the merging of a Megamon XE for USS into a Megamon XE on ZOS. What this means, then, is that in the past, a Megamon XE for USS, Unix System Services, that's what USS is, Unix USS is now included as part of a Megamon XE for ZOS. Going to the next slide, this shows an example of what you could get actually right now if you're running V3.1 in terms of zip and zap support. And so I've highlighted the columns and pieces of information that show IFA percent utilization, zip percent, IFA utilization. So we're looking at CPU usage, execution states. And there's also address space breakouts for these as well, both tabular as well as graphic data. This is available in V3.1. What's going to happen, of course, in V4.1 is you get this information plus additional information, more correlation and things like that specific to WLM service classes and things like that. I find the zip and zap support that's available in a Megamon to be very important to quite a few customers. As I alluded to before, for those that are not familiar with zips and zaps, basically what zips and zaps are assist processors that allow the customer to offload some cycles to processors. So that, for example, a zap processor is for Java workload, a zip processor is for DB2 workload. So if you can offload some of these cycles to just a generic assist processor, this could end up resulting in an overall savings to the customer. And so quite a few customers I've worked with have made investments in these processors over the last few months or years, and as a result, they've experienced a savings. So what that means then is if you've made the investment in the processor, and this is part of managing your cost of computing, you want to be sure that you're using these engines, that they're being used effectively, they're being used by the workload you want to use it, and this is something that's not going to waste. You're actually exploiting this component. And so zip monitoring and management is key for many users. The next slide shows an example of a classic display showing the zip utilization. So there's quite a few classic displays, MCPU, the DEX command. I list on the right side various classic commands and things where you can get zip output, etc. And so for those of you that are familiar with classic interface as opposed to the Tivoli portal, these are the various commands that have been impacted by adding zip and zap processor utilization into these displays. So this is not just a portal enhancement. This is also happening on the classic 3270 layer as well. Going to the next slide that talks about additional zip and zap information. So now this is additional info that you would get with the version 4.1. Again, this is first quarter of 07. And so this is basically taking zip and zap data, and now this is being correlated to the SysPlex level workspaces. So now looking at our address spaces, looking at report class as well as service class, looking at workflow analysis, resource groups, etc., the Plex level type information provides an additional level of correlation vis-a-vis what's going on again with zips and zaps. And this is data that's available both real-time as well as in historical workspaces. Another aspect of what's coming with version 4.1, so now I've gone to the next slide that says V1 provides integration of Unix System Services into a Megamon XE for ZOS. So basically what you see in this particular example then is if you're familiar with the Megamon XE ZOS, the existing 3.1 product, if you look closely at the navigation tree, which is over on the left corner, left upper corner, you see now there's an entry in the navigation tree that says ZOS Unix System Services. So you click on that, and now you get USS monitoring basically included as part of ZOS monitoring. So what's nice then is it's a more integrated solution. One of the nice things about portfolio simplification is simply by condensing and integrating the tools themselves, you, the customer, get much more bang for the buck, and that's part of what makes this exciting as well. So maybe if you didn't have USS monitoring before in detail, you will get it now. And for those of you that are not familiar with what this means, what we provide then in this case is the ability to see Unix System Services, not just from the ZOS perspective, but also to give you what is in essence the Unix eye view, as I call it, wherein you can actually see the processes, the commands, who's logged in, who's doing what commands are being issued, looking at the file systems, looking at USS as if it was a full-blown Unix system, which really it is when you think about it. So going to the next slide, it says Megamon XE for Kicks, version 4.1. This is available now. So just highlights at a glance, Continued expansion of Kick's transaction server support. So this covers quite a few things. URI information, web service information, business transaction service exploitation, recovery manager, more NQ details, more information specific to enterprise Java, and all this kind of stuff. That's all integrated and included now in the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. Again, the theme of dynamic workspace linking. The whole notion of being able to navigate from a Kix transaction to the DB2 thread and back. That's a typical example that comes up quite commonly. More thread exception, detail information integration, links across the board, going from, say, from example, the shared temporary storage queue data, the coupling facility, the structured display in Sysplex, etc. So basically tying together not just Kix and DB2, but maybe also Kix and ZOS monitoring, etc. There's a continued movement of capabilities from CUA interface to the XE portal interface. And so in this case, we're looking at trace facility and other enhancements. There's also integration as well with Kix performance analyzers. So in other words, then the 110 records, et cetera, that come out of a Megamon XE for Kix can now be fed into CICS performance analyzer, Kix PA. The next slide just shows examples of some of the enhancements that have been added in terms of new displays, etc., BTS analysis, NQ analysis, Java analysis, URI map analysis, web services, etc. These are all examples. You can see just a lot of details continually being added to the Tivoli portal specific to CICS, a very deep exploitation of Tivoli portal from a CICS monitoring standpoint. Continuing on with our stepping through of the various Omegamons, Omegamon XE for IMS. Now I've moved to the next slide, which says Omegamon XE for IMS on ZOS V4.1. Highlights at a glance, and again, this is available now. Quite a few enhancements. I think some very interesting and powerful enhancements. TRF. TRF stands for Transaction Reporting Facility. That's a history capability that is very important for performance analysis as well as chargeback analysis for quite a few customers. One of the things that customers have been asking for quite a while is more granularity and detail in the response time reporting buckets and things like that, and so now that has been done. More detailed analysis for full function as well as fast path WIFI, that's wait for input, WIFI is the term there, WFI regions, and this includes more detail specific to call counts and types, etc. There is an ongoing migration of information from Classic and CUA to the portal. So, for example, one of the key numbers that people like to see is what we call the region occupancy percent. That's a number that basically says how busy or how full the message region or what we call the dependent region is. That information is now available in the portal. One of the biggies for version 9 customers is HALDB support, High Availability Database is basically what that stands for. This is just larger databases in essence. And so HALDB support in Omegamon XE for IMS V4.1 provides more database detail, partition detail, VSAM statistics and other info, and I have an example of this in a slide or two. There's been additional details added specific to DB control threads and things. This is support we've had in the 3270 interfaces. Now this has been moved into the portal as well. One of the areas that's been a long-standing area of request is the ability to do detailed monitoring of IMS Connect performance and integrate that IMS Connect performance with other monitoring and management of a Megamon IMS. This is something that's available now. One thing I want to be sure to mention is that when we're talking about monitoring from an IMS perspective and you want to monitor IMS Connect, is you need Omegamon XE for IMS, but you also want IMS Connect extensions. You need both pieces to be able to do what I'm going to show in the next couple slides. Other key items specific to Omegamon XE for IMS, this has been mentioned before with the other tools, the dynamic workspace links. The integration then between IMS and DB2 and IMS and Kix has been added, and this all enhances the integration. Obviously important when we're talking to DB control environment, etc. So the next slide shows an example of the HALDB support that's been added, and this is available in the Tivoli portal, Omegamon XE for IMS V4.1. So we see an overview of the HALDBs, and then we can do a link for VSAM, MOSAM type information. You can link and get partition information, the key information, et cetera. So there's quite a few displays. So I think this is a very nice exploitation of HALDB and the ability to provide that detail in the Tivoli Enterprise portal. The next slide shows a Megamon XE for IMS, the Kinect information that I mentioned before. This is a very robust implementation, I feel, of Kinect monitoring integrated directly with a Megamon XE for IMS performance data. Now, as I said, just so that everyone is clear, to be able to see the information that you see on this slide, you need to have Kinect extensions installed in the product, in IMS. And so in this case, what we're looking at is actually broken out by Trancode. We see response time data, maximum response time data, message counts. You see all sorts of things like pre-OTMA times. So you'll be able to get things like network breakouts, et cetera. And so this is very robust information. You can see there's several displays you can click in the navigation tree where you can see response time by TRAN, by client, by data store, by port, by user, with drill downs for each of these. And so this is a very nice view of response time data that you can gather from basically using Kinect extensions as an API to forward that data into the Tivoli Enterprise portal. That's what we're looking at in this example here. So we've talked about IMS and Kix and ZOS. Let's talk about DB2 next. So we've gone to the slide that says a Megamon XE for DB2 PMPE V4.1. Highlights at a glance. Now, the stuff that's on the top part of the slide is actually quite a bit of stuff that's been available in version 3.1 for a while. So 3.1 has added support for ZIP processors, SQL Performance Analyzer, integration with the Megamon Classic, some enhancements to the Application Trace Facility, that's what ATF stands for. One that's been a very popular one, I think, is the support for the IFKID 225. IFKID 225 is the storage trace IFKID. That provides a detailed breakout of how DB2 is using its storage, what's being used by threads, what's being used by things like compression dictionaries, etc. And so for those of you who are fans of John Campbell's talks on storage analysis and usage in the DB2 subsystems, and those are very good presentations, by the way, I highly recommend them. This is the information that you need, is that input. So now what this support provides is the ability to see that data in a real-time fashion, and that's very useful to have. Let's see, additional interesting stuff. Oh, general usability enhancements. There's navigation from the classic interface, the ability to use more tab keys and things like that. That's quite convenient. There's other things that are important as well. We've mentioned the dynamic workspace linking quite a bit, the agent versioning I'll talk about again a little bit later, the national language support. And also, if you want a position for DB2 version 9, this is the release you want to be on. So for those of you that have made the jump from 7 to 8, now you're on 8, and now you're ready to think about going from version 8 to version 9 when that fits into your horizon, this is the release you want to be at. Going to the next slide that says DB2 Threat Enclave Workspace has a link to ZOS. This is an example of the dynamic workspace linking mechanisms we were talking about before. The idea is basically then from the thread detail view, if it's a distributed thread, I want to be able to see more details specific to the enclaves, the service classes, the performance indexes, etc. Why is the thread performing at the level it's performing at, and how is it being managed by the operating system? So continuing on with our tour of Megamon XE version 4.1, let's talk a little bit about a Megamon XE for storage on ZOS V4.1. Quite a few additional new capabilities have been added in the form of a new storage toolkit for DFHSM and DSS type functions, a database for the administrators of storage, top 10 volume reports, dataset attribute analysis capabilities, all sorts of problem solving and functional capabilities have been added to the tool. So for example, if we go to the next slide, you can see now that from the portal, I've highlighted where you can issue backup, migrate, copy, recall, recover commands, etc., to manage data set level activities using the Tivoli Enterprise portal. You have more views, more robust views of data, et cetera, that you can get from the portal. And again, this provides them with the integration capabilities if we're talking monitoring from Z as well as DB2, et cetera. This provides a more integrated view of what's happening storage-wise. Continuing to the next slide, which mentions Megamon XE for mainframe networks, version 4.1. There's quite a few new enhancements in the area of new displays, workspaces, etc., that have been added with XE for mainframe networks. This has mostly taken the form of enhancements in the level of the Tivoli Enterprise portal. So in the portal perspective, there's been enhancements added in terms of VTAM buffer pool displays and additional SNA detail information that's been added in the Tivoli portal. There's more detail that's been added specific to FTP activity. So there's quite a bit of FTP information you can get to monitor FTP activity in terms of what FTP is doing on ZOS. There's also additional information specific to TN3270 server sessions. There's been enhancements specific to the historical reporting, additional workspaces, etc., that have been added for historical reporting purposes. As I mentioned before, one of the things that you can do now with the V41 is you can take advantage of the Tivoli data warehouse to not only just gather the data, but also do the summarization and the pruning, etc. There's been additional data that's been added to the enterprise extender displays, high-performance router displays and connections, etc. And then, of course, the last thing is, again, the DWL, the dynamic workspace linking. That ties Megamon XE, ZOS, NetView, and mainframe networks data together more elegantly. The next slide shows an example of the VTM display. This is just some of the additional SNA data that's been added to the tool with the new release. There's other additional displays and enhancements that have been added as well. So that's just a general tour of what's happened with the 4.1 releases. Let's talk about a brand new Megamon, which is always a fun thing as well. Megamon XE on ZVM and Linux V4.1, this is an integrated Linux and ZVM monitoring solution. This is a combined offering. You get a single integrated solution that ties together ZVM and Linux on a single set of displays, so you can monitor the overall system health, get some key workload metrics, look at LPAR data, device information, etc. It integrates directly within the Tivoli Enterprise portal, takes advantage of the VM performance toolkit, and provides you an integrated view of what's happening both from a Linux as well as from a ZVM perspective. So this is truly an integrated offering that ties both pieces together. The next slide shows an example of this integration. So you see the navigation tree on the left that shows the Linux operating system, and then you see lines you can click to go to the various workspaces that show, for example, DASD, LPAR, network, storage, etc. Going to the next slide that mentions the ZOS Management Console, V4.1. There's enhancements that are being added to the V4.1 version of the ZOS Hardware Management Console support. So additional coupling facility information, LPAR information, Unix System Services information, as well, again, the DWL, the Dynamic Workspace Linking. This is all being added into the ZOS Management Console capability. Some other integration items that are important, and so again, integration, as I said, is the key. I've probably used that word quite a few times now at this point. If you have NetView for ZOS version 5.2, you have the ability to take information from NetView in the form of network and connection information and things like that, and integrate that information into the Tivoli Enterprise portal, like what we see in this example here. So you have the ability to put the data into the Tivoli portal. There are links that are provided. And again, this also will continue to exploit the dynamic workspace linking capabilities that come with Tivoli Enterprise portal and the version 4.1s, etc., across the board. Other key components that integrate with the Tivoli portal is the SA system automation. So here's an example of the Tivoli portal and SA. And for those that are familiar with SA, you have various commands. The englist is one, showing the output of englist. And again, we're viewing this from the Tivoli portal. So you have automation as well as monitoring, as well as other key components, your network management, your NetView, etc., that all tie within this common component infrastructure called the Tivoli portal, the TEP. You can also, going to the next slide, look at IBM Tivoli Workload Scheduling, TWS, in the same manner as well. TWS integrates with the TEP, as does SA, as does the NetView, as does, of course, all the various Megamons distributed as well as mainframe. So the TEP is a very central component for your overall performance availability monitoring and management suite. So that is, in essence, then the overview of what's happened specific to 4.1, what the enhancements are, what's the direction of the tools, what's the overall direction of the suite, how important integration is to the overall solution, and also how other core Tivoli monitoring and management components tie into this integrated approach. Let's talk a little bit about migration. We're going to 4.1. Typically, you'd probably would go from a 3.1 environment to 4.1. And so what are the migration considerations? Well, when we're talking about migration from 3.1 to 4.1, there are several components that need to be considered during the upgrade planning. You have the Tivoli Enterprise Management Server, the TEMS, as they're called, and you have hubs and remotes. You have the Tivoli Enterprise Portal Server, the TEPS, and then you have the various Tivoli Enterprise Monitoring Agents, the TEMAs. In essence, the Omegamons themselves. You can think of the TEMAs as the Omegamons. Each of these pieces needs to be upgraded at some point for this whole thing to happen. Omegamon 4.1 eases the process by basically allowing for what we call agent versioning to run much more seamlessly. What this means then is you can upgrade the infrastructure, and the infrastructure will be smart enough to know if it's talking to a version 3.1 agent versus a version 4.1 agent, etc., and then display the appropriate information on the displays. In general, you have two primary strategies when you're talking upgrade. You have the big bang approach, as I call it, which is basically everybody runs around and upgrades everything all at once. This might be okay in a smaller environment. In a large environment, it's just not a feasible approach. But if you have a small environment, we're talking just a few agents, maybe a couple of LPARs, small number of regions, etc., if we're talking KIX or DB2 or whatever, then this might be a feasible approach. In a large environment, though, you're looking at some form of a phased migration, in which case then you're going to need to upgrade portions at a time and do it in the appropriate sequence. Now, obviously, this is going to require more planning in terms of determining what needs to be upgraded in what sequence and how it needs to go, etc. And so I definitely do recommend that you do more planning if and when you're considering the phased migration approach and do a little bit of the homework and research. And I have some links for some important reading that I think will help you in terms of planning this out. So going to the next slide that says, in a combination 3.1 and 4.1 environment, upgrade the infrastructure first. So what we see in this example is we have the black boxes that are the infrastructure. We have our TEMS, our remote and hub. We have our TEPS, that's our portal server. That's the infrastructure. That is the stuff that ties it together. So the first recommendation might be upgrade the essential infrastructure to 4.1 first. And so that would be put the hubs, put the TEMS hub, put the portal server up to 4.1 so that it could talk to, in essence, down-level agents. And then upgrade your 3.1 agents to 4.1 as it makes sense. And I also point out in the ZOS perspective, if you're upgrading, say, your Omegamon XE for Z from 3.1 to 4.1, same thing with your DB2, etc., if you have a remote TEMS, which you typically will on that LPAR, well, that remote TEMS will be upgraded as part of that process. So going to the next slide that says phased migration approach considerations, one of the key questions you might want to consider is the question of to clone or not to clone. In other words, I have SMP files and inslibes and things like that. Well, you don't necessarily have to clone. You can just receive the new code into the existing SMPE environment and then continue on down that road. But, of course, part of that process is what will happen then is the various SMPE, FMIDs, et cetera, will be upgraded to the new 4.1 levels. So that then in turn puts you into a bit of a conundrum, which is what if your migration is going to take some time and you want to be able to do some maintenance to the older 3.1 versions while 4.1 is being rolled out. If that is the case, then you probably will want to clone your inslibs and your SMPE files, etc., so that you can do this. If it's not necessary to apply fixes during the migration, then maybe just using your existing environment will do the trick. In terms of delivery of code, you can get products from Shop Z-Series. You can get electronic or physical media. I find more and more people like electronic. I use electronic myself for a lot of the installations that I do, and it works quite nicely. And so I include a URL that you can use to get to Shop Z-Series and get to the 4.1 delivery. Next slide shows some additional roadmap guide links and things like that. So there is a 4.1 roadmap guide that I do recommend that you peruse. This contains some additional details and some useful scenarios and things like that that you will probably want to consider. This goes through things like what versions of portals and things, so that you have considerations in terms of if you're upgrading the infrastructure, for example, you have application enablement CDs and other things that need to be included. And so this guide in particular will go through some of these scenarios and make suggestions on the optimal way to do it. If you just want a link to the documentation for the 4.1 Omegamons, that's available as well via the URL I have here. If you want access to the appropriate fix packs, I include a link to that as well. So with this, you should be able to get a pretty good handle on the migration to 4.1. As I alluded to on the earlier slide, I think planning is essential, especially if you're talking a phased migration approach. You have key decision points to clone or not clone your existing environment. Usually the decision point there hinges around whether you need to do ongoing maintenance during the migration or if you plan to do the migration very quickly and it's not a factor. I've done several migrations from 3.1 to 4.1 now, and it seems to work quite nicely. So with that, that last slide is just my summary slide that just talks about the whole notion of end-to-end management and the integration. But at that point, I think we're done with the core presentation. Again, I want to thank everyone for taking the time to attend this presentation, and I'll be happy to take your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ed. Now, we'd like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey, and right after the survey, we'll have that live Q&A session with the presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key, followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice, and please listen to all options before making your selection. Now, here's our first question. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, please press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. And we'll pause for just a moment to allow you all a chance to signal. And for our second question, please rate the level of technical information presented in this teleconference. If you thought it was at the right level, please press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. And if it was more technical than you needed to hear, press star 3. And again, we'll pause to allow you a chance to respond. Next question, which version of OmegaMon are you currently using? If it is OmegaMon XE version 3.1, press star 1. If it is OmegaMon 2 with 3270 interfaces, press star 2. If you do not use OmegaMon, press star 3. We'll pause for another moment. Do you have a plan to upgrade OmegaMon to the new version 4.1? If yes and within the next 6 months, press star 1. If yes and within the next 12 months, press star 2. If no, press star 3. And we'll be right back with our last question. We hope that you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If you would like to receive the information or follow-up, please press star 1. And if you are not interested, please press star 2. And we'll pause and be right back for the question and answer session. And that does conclude our survey. Thank you all very much for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask a question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. Again, if you'd like to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. And at this time, I'll turn the call over to Ed while we wait for questions.
Great. Thank you. I want to thank everyone again for taking the time to attend the webcast. As I was going through things, I realized probably at the end there that I probably didn't clarify one or two items quite well enough. I mentioned the GA of the 4.1 OmegaMon DB2 kicks, IMS, et cetera, as being GA in Q4 of 06. I probably didn't make it clear enough. The OmegaMon XE for ZOS version 4.1 is available, general availability now. It went GA, I think it was January 26th of 07. So it is a Q4, but, you know, it is available now. So some of the stuff has been around for a while, and the ZOS is available now as well, so you should be able to do your whole suite of OmegaMons up to the 4.1 level if you so desire to.
I do have a question, and it will come from William Bender.
Hi there. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Hi. Actually, I've got two questions, if I may.
Sure.
The first one, we run our TEMS hub on DOS,
mm-hmm.
and I know there is a book on some recovery for a failing LPAR, but I was wondering what kind of plans there are for any kind of high availability for hub recovery?
There is a hot standby that you can do if you have hubs on distributed, things like that. I know there are some field-developed solutions I've seen for moving hubs from one LPAR to another and things like that. And that would probably be more the direction you would want to consider. I don't know if that's actually been formally published or anything like that. That's just stuff I've run into in the field. If you want more information on that, shoot me an email, and I'll track down the likely culprits and get you the information you're probably looking for.
All right, I appreciate that because the one publication that's out there, we did take a swing at, and we do use Symbolics,
mm-hmm.
and it makes it virtually impossible to do using Symbolics.
Right, and yeah, the issue of the Symbolics is probably a different presentation. Obviously, we won't get into that here, but I have worked, you know, at a couple of shops where I have seen some of our consultants do some field-supported kind of things that are, I think, quite doable and flexible. So hopefully that should give you what you need.
All right, great. I'll shoot you the email, and if that is in the presentation?
I don't recall. If it isn't, I'll just tell you right now. It's WOODSE, Woods E, at us.ibm.com.
Great. So, the second question... there was some mention about NetView and SA for the TEPs.
Mm-hmm.
We use AF Operator rather heavily. Didn't mm-hmm. see anything. Is there any plan for AF Operator in this environment?
AF Operator in the TEP. You know, I haven't seen anything in that for a while. There has been, you know, what we would call an alert adapter type of an interface wherein... you could build situations and things like that.
Through the universal agent.
It's not really actually a universal agent. It's actually it's kind of an agent address space you can create a situation and it generates recs and things like that. But I don't know where that currently sits vis-a-vis integration with TEP and stuff like that. I would have to find out because I have played with this before, but it has been quite a while. And to be quite honest, this was back before the IBM Candle acquisition. I mean, AF Operator still is a viable supported component, but what's happening in terms of TEP exploitation, I don't have any specifics on right now, so I would have to find out and get back to you.
All right, well then I guess part B of that second question, so AF Operator is not going away.
No, AF Operator is not going away. We have a large installed base of AF Operator, and so technically we do have two automation engines. We have SA, we have AF. The standard decision point, as I understand, is depending upon what your requirements are or how you want to tie things together, SA may be the more quote-unquote strategic, if you like that kind of word, solution than AF, but AF is still a viable, supported, you know, it's still a real deal. We're not getting rid of it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ed.
Sure.
David, you have our next question.
Yes, I have a question about, in your presentation, you didn't cover about MQ and the WAS. I assume it's a different product for the solution, monitoring solution?
Yes. MQ and the WebSphere monitoring are not areas that I really do work with. So there is an OmegaMon XE for messaging. The current version, I believe, is V600. So it's in a different maintenance and upgrade cycle than what I would call the traditional OmegaMons of monitoring Z and Kix and DB2. And so it's on a different maintenance cycle and version cycle and things like that, which is why I didn't really include it in this. But yes, there's an XE for messaging, which we would think of as MQ. There's also in a Megamon, or technically it's not a Megamon. Now it's actually called IT Composite Application Monitoring, ITCAM, for WebSphere. And that's different versions and numbers and whatever. So, again, it doesn't really tie in with this maintenance cycle here. But you can tie it into the portal. So, to that extent, it does talk.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
Just as a reminder to press star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. We'll hear from Arthur Lastra.
Yes, just trying to get a handle on all the terms and names that we've got here. Today, we use, for DB2ZOS, we use two basic approaches for monitoring. We use the classic OmegaMon interface to do real-time and near real-time historical. Then we also use the Java-based DB2PE client with the PE server on the mainframe to also do the real-time and so forth. Okay. When I look at your FOIL 39, page 39, where you kind of show a topology of basically the environment where you have the enterprise portal GUI on the top there and so forth, what I'm trying to just in a nutshell understand is if I go to 4.1 with all these combining of OmegaMon with PE, with Tivoli, and all, what am I basically going to use? Am I still going to have my 3270 interface and a Java-based PE client, or is the Java client going away? You know, what are the basic interfaces I'm going to use?
Right. It's probably an oversight. I probably should have included the PE GUI in this slide. I didn't really think of it. If you're talking OmegaMon DB2, or now the correct name is OmegaMon XE for DB2 PMPE V4.1, that includes the Tivoli portal, that includes classic 3270 as well as CUA 3270, and it also includes support for the PE GUI. So basically then, in case you're wondering, classic interface is not going away. If you have a product that has a classic interface, that will continue to be a supported key portion of the tool, and if you recall some of the earlier slides, I actually showed examples of enhancements on classic slides, like in a Megamon XE for Z. So classic is not going away in the DB2 product. That's key. Ultimately, CUA interface, if you're familiar with the CUA, that will be phased out in lieu of the portal or classic commands or combinations thereof. But we'll always have classic, we'll always have Tivoli Enterprise Portal, and then specific to the DB2 4.1, there is another piece that I don't really show on this slide 39 diagram. That would be the PE GUI. And that PE GUI basically would just be a piece of Java code that you would FTP from your ZOS installation libraries to your client desktop, and you could literally just connect directly to the, basically it actually connects to the PE server code that actually runs inside the box that says a Megamon Classic Collector. So technically, the PE server code that supports the PE GUI runs within that box, and that or that address space technically, and that is still supported. That's still a part of the tool. There's been no statement of direction to do away with PE GUI. At some point in the long term, my understanding is, and again, I'm not an R&D guy, or a vice president or anything like that. So I'm just talking from a field perspective. My understanding is that at some point the PE GUI will be folded into the Tivoli portal. But that's going to be quite a ways down the road. That's, we're talking multiple years, I would suspect, before that happens. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, if you're using the PE GUI right now and you go to V4.1, you will still have the PE GUI. It works good. It's a nice tool.
So for me, personally, then, I will be able to use the existing GUI I've got. I would also be able to use the Enterprise Portal if I want to use that GUI, or I could use the classic interface.
Yep. Yeah, you can use any of those, yes.
Finally, what's the new name that you refer to this stuff? It was a long name, but I just want to get that down.
The question is, what's the name of the merged product? Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah.
Okay. For OmegaMon DB2,
right.
The name is OmegaMon XE for DB2 PM or OmegaMon XE for DB2 PE. So there's two discrete offerings. The difference between the two offerings is the PE version includes the buffer pool analysis component. The PM does not. Other than that, they're largely the same. And what that naming reflects is this is a true merger of DB2PM and DB2PE with the core Megamon monitoring infrastructure.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Oh, my pleasure.
Tim Pearson with Wachovia has a question.
Thank you. Hey, Ed.
Hi.
I certainly appreciate, you know, these presentations, but I still feel like I need some more hands-on training in how to set up some of these, you know, workspaces and that kind of stuff. Is that offered any place?
There are classes for such things, I believe.
And I've been trying to find those and had a tough time finding where those are.
Yeah. I don't know if they're offered as formal classes per se or if it's something wherein you would contract with IBM Consulting and then we would come in and perform such classes. I know in the past I have done such training, and I have colleagues who have done such training as well. But I don't, you know, I'm not familiar enough with the education catalog to where it's like, I don't necessarily think that it's kind of a like a public thing where you go out to the education schedule and you go, oh, here's a Tivoli Portal class that's being taught in Raleigh on such and such days. I don't think it's quite at that level of formality. If you want more information on that, drop me a note and I'll see what I can find out and let you know what the process would be on getting something like that going. I know some of the webcasts I've done in the past, I've covered some of the customization aspects. I did a power user Megamon DB2 webcast a couple months back, and to give you some ideas, but I'm just touching on things. I obviously can't teach, a half day or full day class in like a 1 hour webcast. So I'm really just giving you an idea.
Right, and these are certainly, you know, helpful from that standpoint.
Right, but I mean, if you want something more information than what I can give you here, shoot me an email. It's woodse@us.ibm.com. And I'll try to track down what you need to know.
Okay, great.
Sure.
My other question is, on slide 10, you showed, you know, there are platforms, databases, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't list IMS under databases, but you did under business integration, which, like the transaction manager piece.
Mm-hmm.
What was the reason that?
Probably just an oversight.
Okay, because I know we try to use IMS quite a bit for in the Omegamon products here.
Yeah, that's probably just an oversight on my part. Too many boxes.
That's true. All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Just a final reminder to press *1 if you'd like to ask a question. We'll go to Todd 6.
Hello, Ed.
Hello.
My question pertains to running multiple sysplexes and tying together a single logical view of maybe several CICSs or DB2s on one window. Is that possible with this product?
Yes. Yeah, there is multi-sysplex support that is available within the product, and that what that gives you then is the ability to have a single portal that will be able to monitor from an integrated standpoint your test plex, your prod plex, your QA plex, and then similarly, if we're talking, you know, data sharing like DB2 data sharing, IMS N-Way, you'll be able to see all your different data sharing groups and monitor them as data sharing groups, as well as standalone subsystems or members. So, yeah, what you're asking for is feasible.
Okay, so and data sharing, I think that's the same sysplex, but I would be talking about multiple sysplexes in different locations, maybe providing the same function in a couple of CICSs or DB2s.
As long as there's network connectivity,
okay,
and we can get the agents to handshake, we can pull it together. That we don't have to, we're not limited to the same footprint or machine room or whatever. So, yeah, we can pull it together.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
There are no further questions at this time. Ed, I'd like to turn the call back over to you.
Okay, great. Well, in summary, I just want to thank everyone for taking the time. Thank you for the questions. Those of you that had a couple things you wanted to shoot me an email on, certainly feel free. And it's been a pleasure as always, and we'll be doing more of these webcasts over the year. So I hope you come back and visit us again. Thank you, and have a good day.
Once again, thank you all very much for joining us today. That does conclude the presentation. Have a great afternoon.